are in a series called Life to the Full. And in John 10:10, Jesus says, "The thief comes only to kill, only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." Life to the full. Statistically speaking, most people believe in God. We talked about this a couple weeks ago. However, most people don't follow God's ways. That's also proven statistically. They believe in God, but they turn to other sources for their guidance in life. They believe in God, but what they hold as important isn't influenced by the things, influenced by things other than God. They believe in God, but their standards and principles are based on the world around them instead of on God. So our battle is not as much about convincing people that God exists, but rather convincing them, and before we do that, we have to convince ourselves, that God's ways are superior. And that's a big deal. It's easy to say, yeah, I believe in God. But to put his ways as superior over the world's ways, that's a big difference. Jesus came that we would have life and have it to the full. Jesus brings life now. It's not just when we enter eternity, whether it's the second coming of Christ or when we die. It's not then that life starts. Life starts when we become a Christian. Life starts when we give our life to Christ. And Jesus said, I came to bring life to the full. So arguably, the habits of a Christian, the habits of a follower of Christ should promote health. Correct? Yes? It should give us healthy character traits. We should see physical health benefits. And I've spent 13 years here trying not to preach health and wealth gospel, but I've erred over here instead of, I don't want to go way over here and just be a smiley preacher and, you know, make everybody feel good. But there is health to be found in following God's ways. That just makes sense. There's physical health, there's financial health, there's mental health, and healthy relationships. And a healthy understanding of the power and the use of our words. These are all subjects that we're talking about in this series. Healthy habits of a follower allow us to experience the truth of what Jesus said when he said, I have come that you may have life and have it to the full. Life to the full. 2 weeks ago, we talked about just general healthy character traits. And we looked at Romans chapter 12. And if you want, we've got that online. You can go back and listen to that. If you'd missed it, or if you'd like to re-listen to it, we talked about how character traits give us integrity and purpose and focus in life, and that all gives us life to the full. Today we're talking about the physical health. Proverbs 3, verse 5 through 8 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart." How many of you guys recognize that? Okay, a lot of us recognize that. That's one of those typical bumper sticker verses, you know. A verse that you might see on a little, you know, nice plaque or something, a little thing you got sitting on your desk. But you need to keep reading some of these famous verses. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to him and he will make your paths straight. We all know that part. But if you keep reading, it says, do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. This will bring what? Health to your what? Body. So there is a little bit of health and wealth gospel in the Bible. This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. So trust in the Lord with all your heart. You follow God's ways. He sets your paths straight and you follow those paths. And not only does it benefit you in so many other ways, but very specifically right here in Proverbs, it benefits your health, your physical health. It brings health to your body. It brings nourishment to your bones. Just to follow God's ways. Fearing him, rejecting evil choices brings health, physical health. In Proverbs, In Proverbs 4, verse 20, it says, my son, pay attention to what I say. Turn your ear to my words. Do not let them out of your sight. Keep them within your heart, for they are life. Jesus said, I came to bring life to the full. For they are life to those who find them and health to one's whole body. Health to your whole body. Jesus came that we would have life to the full. And part of that is physical health. Following God's ways brings life. It brings life to our physical bodies, to our physical health. And this makes sense because sin brings death. And those things that bring death also bring physical harm to our bodies. That just makes sense. If something brings death, then it would also bring along with it harm to our physical bodies. So let's write this down. Sin is destructive to my spirit, my heart, and also my physical health. I think a lot of us think about just those first couple, that sin's destructive to my spirit, to my heart, but it's also destructive to my physical health. In Mark chapter 7, Jesus is talking to some Pharisees and teachers about some of the hand-washing rituals and ceremonies. And what was going on was Jesus's disciples, they were not washing their hands properly before they were eating. Everyone say, ew. That's always an awful feeling when you see someone or when you hear the toilet flush and they just walk out and they go to shake your hand. And I'm hitting the alcohol right after that. I mean, that's great. Yeah. So, and it's like, oh, just fake it. You know, just turn the water on for a minute and pull the towels out. Jesus' disciples, this was less about health, physical health. It was more about ritual. It was more about ceremony. It was more about following something that was a Pharisaical ritual there. And so this brings up a conversation where Jesus ends up saying that it's not what goes into your mouth that defiles you, but rather it's what comes out of a person that defiles them. He says this in verse 18. He says, "Are you so dull?" he asked. "Don't you see that nothing that enters a person from the outside can defile them? For it doesn't go into their hearts, but into their stomach and then out of the body." In saying this, Jesus declared all foods clean. He went on, "What comes out of a person is what defiles them, for it is from within, out of a person's heart, that evil thoughts come: sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. All these evil come from inside and defile a person." If you notice, the it starts in the heart. Jesus said that's where it starts. But then when it comes out, what does it do? Defiles. It defiles the body. It defiles the person. Let's write this down. Sin starts in your heart, but the physical act defiles you. It comes from within. Those evil thoughts within, when those come out, inside the heart, that's where the curiosity starts. That's where the interest of sin starts. It's where the desire starts. It conspires. It plots. But then when you physically act it out, that evil thought turns into an evil choice. That evil desire turns into an evil behavior. Jesus says that what comes up out of a person defiles them. James says, "Then after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death." So he's following the same progression, that it starts with a desire. And then once that gives birth, it gives birth to sin. And that gives birth to death. In Ephesians, Paul talks about a paradox that happens to our physical health when it comes to sin. He says, "So I tell you this and insist on it in the Lord that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do in the futility of their thinking." That means emptiness of their thinking. "They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them." And then here's the reason. He says, "Due to the hardening of the hearts." Hardening of their hearts. How did that happen? Well, it says that they've lost all sensitivity. They have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity, and they are full of greed. It all fit on there, so that works. So they've given themselves over to sensuality, and what that's done, it hasn't made them more sensual. I mean, if I work out, I get bigger muscles, or if I work out, I get better lung capacity. I get my stamina goes up. But when we're dealing with sin and sensuality, That he's saying that the more they gave themselves over, they didn't become more sensitive. The inverse happens when you're dealing with sin. When you give yourself over to these sensualities, you become desensitized. You lose sensitivity. And that causes a hardening of the hearts. And that's not good. Let's write that down. In the act of giving yourself to sensualities, you harden your heart and lose all sensitivity. So there's a physical trade-off with physical sin. In sinful acts, you give yourself to sensualities, but that doesn't make you more sensitive. The opposite happens. You lose sensitivity. It hardens your heart. Sin corrupts. Sin deceives. You think you're feeling more. You think through expressing your freedoms that you're more free, but you're actually more imprisoned. You feel like you're feeling more, but you're feeling less. And your heart is being hardened. 1 Timothy 4:8 says, For physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. Paul is not setting up an either or here in this verse. This isn't either or. Says physical training is of some value, but you take it a step above that. And godliness, spiritual training, doesn't have limits. Physical training has some value, but it's limited to just physical results. But spiritual training, what does he say? Has value for what? All things. It's not limited. So he's not saying don't stop working out, stop caring about your physical bodies. No, he's saying that that's got some value. But spiritual training, spiritual discipline, godliness, that has value for all things. And it's not you can either have physical or have spiritual. No, he's saying godliness has value for all things. So physical health would be part of the all things amidst a number of other things, but today's topic, all things. 1 Corinthians, and I'm kind of doing a little bit of popcorn scriptures here and just kind of grabbing some stuff to build a foundation, just in case you're like, whoa, this is a little ADD here. Last one, Yes, last one, then we'll get into some application of all this. In 1 Corinthians, Paul starts off, this is an interesting little passage too, Paul starts off with a physical metaphor, but he ends up talking about how physical work, physical discipline, is required for our spiritual life. So he starts with a metaphor that's physical, so he's not really talking about the physical, he's using a metaphor, but then that actually metamorphosis, it transforms into an actual discussion about how our spiritual life is dependent on physical choices. He says, do you not know that in a race all runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last. But we do it to get a crown that lasts. Well, it will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like someone running aimlessly. I do not run like a boxer beating the air. You just picture that. I mean, just you see the, you can go to the Rocky, and he's up at the top of the stairs and punching the air, and he's not connecting with anything. Yes, there's some training in that, but it's not doing anything. Or if you're followed the Friends, you can think about Phoebe and how she ran. If you remember her running? Okay, a couple Friends. Okay. So if that's probably on YouTube. That probably would have been a good clip. He says, no, I strike a blow to my body. I make it my slave. And here he's not talking as figuratively. He's saying, no, I take control of my body. I make it my slave. So that after I've preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. Sin is destructive. Sin takes away from us getting the most out of life. It is the obstacle between us and living life to the full. Sin is an indulgence in sensuality that leaves us less sensitive than when we started. It hardens our hearts. Sin, when it is physically acted out, it defiles us. Sin has a very physical part to it. Therefore, let's write this down. Physical discipline is needed to have life to the full. Physical discipline is needed to have life to the full. So let's take a moment and take this foundation that we've built and apply this to some different sins that we see around, some sins that we see in ourselves, and see how this affects us in the physical realm and in our physical health. In this next section, the scriptures, and I need to fix a scripture on there, but the scriptures are going to be in your bulletin. And just to keep us moving, I'm not going to have them up on the screen because I'll be boom, 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 a bunch of different scriptures on these different subjects. And they are all referenced there for you. And if you'd like, this will be up online within the next few days. So you can go online, you can listen to it, and then pause it, read the scripture, go and do some digging yourself, and then unpause it. It's one of the beauties of the technology we have nowadays to be able to go and do that. So listen a little, hit the pause button, read the scripture for yourself. Get into it yourself. I never want you to take my word for what scripture says. You should be able to check that up, and it should be able to match up just perfect. So with that, here's the pattern we're going to be using for these different sins. We're going to be talking about the sin. We're going to talk about, because sin, of course, comes from the heart, so it affects our heart and our mind. And then as it comes out, it defiles us. It comes out, it creates that physical health problem. And so we're going to be looking at that. And then in every one of these sins, the Bible gives us the alternative. Here's what you should do instead. Here's what you do for health. And so we're going to be looking at that side of things. And it's surprisingly simple in all of the cases that we have here. And I love that. It's not something where you have to be overwhelmed with it, because sin can be overwhelming. And these are just really, really good. Simple. So choices that aren't just spiritually healthy, but also physically healthy. So sexual sin. One of the physical sides of this is that when you're involved in sexual sin, you will view other people as objects. And that's definitely not healthy, to view other people, a person made in God's image, as a physical object. And this is a clear byproduct of sexual sin. Another component of sexual sin that's mentioned in 2 Corinthians is that sin, it is a sin against your own body. That's very physical. It's a sin against your own body. The sexual sin is a sin against your own body. So what does the Bible teach opposite sexual sin? How do we live life to the full and escape that and crawl out of that? Well, in Ephesians 5:18, Paul mentions getting drunk. And we'll talk about that in a minute. But he mentions getting drunk and engaging in debauchery, which is often a general term for very wild living, but it is often carries a sexual connotation with debauchery. So after mentioning drunkenness that leads to debauchery, he says that we should instead be filled with the Spirit, and then he says that we should speak to one another with hymns and psalms and songs from the Spirit. So instead of viewing others as merely physical objects, we should lift each other up. We should lift others up with value. So let's write that down. We should lift others up with value. And the scripture there, that's the one that we need to fix. That one's Ephesians 5:18 through 20 that belongs beside that one, not Romans 13. I don't know how that, and then I forgot to catch it because we printed the bulletins twice. We printed the bulletins last week and it was wrong, and I caught it after the bulletins were printed, and I was like, oh. And then I forgot to fix it in the bulletins you have. So, we make mistakes. What? Ephesians. Yeah, it's actually in your bulletin. I think it's under one of the other points. But Ephesians 5:18-20. And it's in two different places here. Or it's used in two of our different sections today. So he says, speak to each other in hymns and psalms and songs from the Spirit. And that might seem a little strange to us. I don't see us doing that with each other. That would seem a little weird if we just came out in song and I greeted you, and you wouldn't want me to greet you in song. I have to practice a lot just to get good enough to lead worship. So I if I just burst out in something, it'd be better if I just played something for you. But for us, that seems a little strange. But if we look at the principle of that, the principle is that we're lifting other people up. I wouldn't be coming to you and singing in a nasty, angry song. You know, it'd be death metal right in your face. That's not the principle of what he's, you know, bringing up here. He's saying singing songs and hymns and songs of praise. That would be something for us to be lifting each other up. And that flips the script on that. So instead of getting drunk and being involved in debauchery, he says be filled with the Spirit and lift other people up. Give value to other people. And that's a very simple way of combating that sin, is to just start adding in value to people and giving value to people. And it'll make it more difficult for you to be involved in a sin that devalues people. In Romans 13, verse 13, it speaks of sexual sin. And then Paul says that we should clothe ourselves with Christ. So sexual sin is connected to physical nakedness. And so the clothing of Christ is an amazing image there, that you should clothe yourself with Christ instead of following through as sin starts to work in your heart. Then remember, you're clothed with Christ. And so that covers your nakedness. Sexual sin also comes with a lot of shame. And so not only is it a protection to be clothed with Christ, but it's also a healing component to be clothed with Christ, to cover that shame, to cover that nakedness, guarding against the physical temptation and then healing from the fallout. And then 1 Corinthians chapter 6, he talks about how the sexual sin is a sin against our own body, and he reminds us that our bodies have been bought by Christ. If you're a Christian, then your body belongs to Jesus. And so you're temples of the Holy Spirit, every one of us. So you're clothed with Christ, covering your nakedness. You have the Holy Spirit inside of you. So you have Jesus on the outside. You have the Holy Spirit on the inside. And then in Romans 6, Paul talks about how we should use the parts of our body as instruments of righteousness and not use them as instruments of wickedness. So we take all of that together. And we put it in this one little note here, and you can write this down, and that comes from all those scriptures. Clothe yourself with Christ. Your body belongs to him as an instrument of righteousness. So all of those thoughts right there together. So you want to guard against that sin? Clothe yourself with Christ. Understand that your body belongs to him, and your body parts should be used as instruments of righteousness. And that's healthy. That's just plain out healthy. That's living life to the full. What about substance abuse? It's kind of a common one that would come up when we think of sins and we think of things that are destructive to us, dependence and a loss of control. That's what comes along with substance abuse, dependence and a loss of control. And it doesn't matter what substance you're talking about. In Ephesians 5:18, what we mentioned a few minutes ago, he talks about drunkenness. And he said, instead of being drunk, you should be filled with what? With what? Filled with the Spirit. There we go. Okay, yes, the Holy Spirit. Okay, we're going to have to engage. I need to kind of kick it up a little bit, too. The energy is just, ooh. I don't think it's the snow, the number, or whatever. But so instead of being drunk, we should be filled with the Spirit. Go and write that down. That should be, yes. Be filled with the Spirit. But drunk on wine is not the only form of substance abuse, is it? There's many others, and I'm not talking about other alcohols. It's a natural jump to go to drugs and see the use of drugs and how dangerous that is for us and our health. And we know that, and I might be preaching to the choir, and maybe not. Maybe someone here needs to hear the dangers of this physically. We know that alcohol and alcohol abuse, it wreaks havoc on the liver. We know that it's linked to a number of heart problems, arrhythmia, stroke, high blood pressure. It affects the pancreas. It's also linked to some forms of cancer. Drugs, they do a number of things to our organs in addition to the things that are mentioned with alcohol. We've all had connections to someone that's been affected by someone that was driving under the influence. There are many, many, just too many stories of drug overdoses that end in death. I just got a call. Oh no, it wasn't a call. It was an email. And some of you might remember her, Autumn Frost. She was baptized here, 6 months ago? And she got involved, and she had been coming from a very dark history, dark past, and I knew about that. And she had been, there's a lot of victories happening in her life, and she'd had a lot of things going really, really well. And then she stopped coming. She stopped engaging. She was part of one of the teams here, two of the teams actually here. And I was one of the ministry leaders in one of the teams, and John Dutton was another ministry leader in one of the other teams. And we had both reached out to her and hadn't heard anything back from her. You know, hey, we got a meeting this week and hope to see you there and different things. And if you go to our website, that's her picture is the one up there of her being baptized into Christ and on the main role there that cycles through. And I got an email that said that she died Thursday, drug overdose. And so subjects like this, I think, well, it goes without saying, but you never know who's dealing with things. You never know what's going on underneath the surface. So many things we hide, so many things we put away. And that was, I was devastated. I came in here to get a few things done after, and then run home and spend a family night. And I just had to sit down in my chair for a bit, and just was heartbroken and shocked, and I think everyone goes through that. I wish I would have done more. I should have bugged her more. You know, I bugged her a little bit in the fall, and I kind of backed off because I thought, well, I don't want to push her further away if I'm, you know. She'd given her life to Christ. I have that hope. She made some bad choices. She got back into an old thing that was there. How easy is that for any of us to have things like that? And we think, well, I'm free of alcohol or I'm free of drugs. Those aren't the only substances that people abuse. I mean, I just drank a bottle of water with a mixture in it that's got a lot of caffeine in it. Caffeine's not really great for your body. It's not good for your heart. It closes the blood vessels. That's how it works. That's why it takes a headache away. When you guys had coffee this morning? I'm not here to make you feel guilty. I'm just saying there are other substances out there that we abuse. Nicotine. Nicotine's not great for your body. I come from the South. At the front doors of the church that I went to before I went to Bible college, they had two large ashtrays right outside the front door. I mean, tobacco is a cash crop in North Carolina. So it's, for me, smoking wasn't considered, you know, I get up here and people in Ohio, it's like smoking's a sin. Smoking's definitely bad for you. That's just a physical thing. The nicotine's not healthy. Sugar? Oh, don't go there, preacher. Don't go to the sugar. We overeat. Food is a substance that is often abused and never talked about. In fact, let's write this down. I was hesitant to make this a note, but write this down. Gluttony is also a form of substance abuse. So before you point a finger at an alcoholic or a drug addict, think about how many times you returned to the buffet line the last time you were out to the Golden Corral or the Chinese buffet. Alcohol can wreak havoc on the liver, but poor eating habits can wreak havoc on the heart. It can wreak havoc on it can lead to strokes, caused by high blood pressure. Something as simple as knees and hips. Not meant to carry so much. It's just not healthy. And the beauty of this is that Paul's logic applies to every one of these substance abuses. If you got a problem with alcohol, don't be filled with alcohol. Be filled with what? The Spirit. If you got a problem with drugs or other substances like that, then don't be filled up with those. Don't go to those for your peace. Don't go to those for your escape. Go to the Spirit. If it's food, if food is your go-to, if a big bowl of ice cream and guilty, that used to be my go-to. If that's your go-to for comfort and peace, and that's causing problems, that's not healthy. And the beauty of it is it's so simple. Don't be filled on cookies and cream. Be filled on the Spirit. And it applies to any substance that we would abuse, not just alcohol. I love it. It's so simple. Jesus came that we would have life to the full. And so often we block that. We say, I want life to the full. And we come to church. We brave the snow. And we come to church during a level 2 warning where you're only out unless it's what's the terminology there? What is the terminology? Essential. I remember I got a text earlier today, so of that. All non-essential vehicles are to stay off the road. But apparently we felt that it was essential to be here. And so we say we want life to the full. But how often do we not do the things that would lead to it? Jesus says, I came and give life to the full. And the Proverbs say, if you follow these words, if you follow the words of wisdom, they'll bring life. They'll bring health to your whole body. They'll bring nourishment to your bones. If we follow God's ways, they'll make our paths straight. If we lean not on our own understanding, but lean on His understanding. But so often we say, I believe in God, but I'm going to live a different way. I believe in God, and I want life to the full, but I want my cookies and cream. We need to make a decision, church, because we can't teach it. We can't be the example if we're not living it ourselves. We can't convince others that God's ways are more healthy if we're not convinced of it ourselves. I'm not bothered we have a small crowd. Jesus took 12 people, turned the world upside down. If God's word can speak to you today, we can do amazing things with what we have here at our fingertips. Let's get into some sins that are maybe a little more at home here. Greed. Money. Greed and money cause worry and stress. Worry and stress affect us physically crazy awful ways. So unhealthy. We live in a stressful, stressful country. The way we live just... Man, oh man, people... They drop left and right over heart problems stress-related, you know, strokes. Even the things that we've already talked about, the stress eating that leads to the other things. Stress, worry, it just eats at us. I've always loved to keep fish. I've passed that on to Judah's downstairs. He's got a freshwater aquarium in his room, and that's something we share in. Back through high school, I was big into saltwater fish, and then took a break in college because you weren't allowed to have an aquarium in your college dorm room. But then soon after we were married, I got my wife into it, and we both had, you know, golly, at one time we had 3 different aquariums. And it's amazing because fish, they can die when they're stressed. So if you see a fish getting stressed, you want to do something to fix it. They actually have, if you're ever in a pet store, you can go and look in the fish aisle. They have things called stress coat. And it's to help protect them and give them a coat of slime on them that they lose when they get stressed. Fish die from stress. Why do we think we're immune to it ourselves? Church, we die from stress. Stress kills us. It kills your heart. It kills your spirit way before it kills your body, but it also affects your physical health. And some of the main things that we stress over, some of the main things that we are worried over is money or greed, keeping up with the Joneses. We're worried about having a certain car or having a certain lifestyle or maintaining we have a certain retirement goal. And if we look at the last category that we were talking about, substance abuse, you know, food isn't bad. Food's necessary. But it's when food is abused that it's harmful to us. And so the same thing in this category. It's not bad to save money. It's not bad to plan for retirement. It's not bad to be a good steward. It's not bad to enjoy the house or the car that God has blessed you with. But when that crosses over to greed, and when that crosses over to a love of material things and love of money, then that's unhealthy. And that causes a number of physical problems. In Matthew chapter 6, Jesus is talking about the love of money and the stress and the worry that comes with it. And he says that what we should do instead is we should store our treasures in heaven, not on earth. That's the healthy thing to do, that we should love God instead of loving money. That we should make a clear and conscious decision to serve God and to not serve money. Paul notes that money is so strong that it's the root of all kinds of evil, and it has caused some people to lose their faith over the love of money. That's how dangerous the love of money is. Both Paul in Philippians and the Hebrews writers say that we should learn to be content with what we have. So putting all those together, we get this note here. Store up treasures in heaven, love God, and learn to be content. That's how you combat greed. And that's just plain healthy. It's just healthy for you. You talk to someone who has learned to be content with what they have, and you'll be talking with someone who has found peace. You'll be talking with someone that doesn't worry. You'll be talking about someone that's got a lot of freedom in their emotions and a lot of freedom in their brain because they're not thinking about what they're going to eat or what they're going to wear, because they've learned to be content with what they have. Paul says, oh, I've had a bunch and I've had very little. I've learned to be content with whatever it is I have. And that's a beautiful thing. That's how you combat greed. That's much better on your heart. Your physical heart, not just your emotional heart. That lets you sleep a little better at night if that's what keeps you awake. God's ways are much healthier for you than the ways of the world. One more, inactivity. It's just not healthy. It's not good for our bodies. It's not good for our minds. We lose a sense of purpose and fulfillment in life. And that can lead to all sorts of things, depression being one of them. And that has physical ramifications. The Bible teaches against being lazy, against being idle, against being inactive. The Bible teaches that we should work and find fulfillment. Let's write that down. Work and find fulfillment in your labor. And that's healthy for us. There's so many other topics I probably could have brought up today, but I wanted to bring up some very simple ones. We can look at the beginning of the message here, take a look at that foundation, understand that sin does affect us physically. God sent Jesus that we would have life to the full. And the way we have life to the full, the way we follow his ways, and the byproduct of that, not only spiritual benefit, but there's a physical benefit to it as well. Not up on the screen, I want you to just listen. I'm going to read a couple passages, one from Colossians, one from Galatians. I want you to just listen to this. Some of this we've already used, but I want you to hear the big context of it. Colossians chapter 3 says, since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you've taken off your old self and its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge and the image of its creator. Here there is no Gentile or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, as members of one body who are called to peace, and be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. And then Galatians chapter 5, a very famous passage that you're going to recognize. Paul says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, or as many of us recognize that as patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let's write this down. Very, very simple. The fruit of the Spirit is healthy for our whole person. Our heart, our mind, our body, and our spirit. Pray with me. Father, we thank you so much for your guidance, for your word, for the paths that you would have us walk. Father, I pray that you would help us to have those straight paths, that you would lead us in those ways and we would be obedient to you, that we would find guidance for not just our spirit, not just our heart, not just our mind, but for our physical bodies as well. Father, I pray that you'd help us today. If anything here from your word has touched a place in our heart, in our life, that needs to be addressed, Father, that we would bring that to you now, that we would let your spirit speak to us freely, that we would continue to listen to him as your word has spoken clearly to us today. Father, that you would help us to combat whatever it is in our life that is keeping us from having life to the full. Whatever obstacle we have, all of them under the umbrella of sin, that's keeping us from living the life that you would have us live. We're struggling with a sin, a closet sin, hiding things away, that you would help us to combat that. Father, if it's worry, if it's greed, if it's something dealing with our heart in those areas, Father, that you would help us to see it for what it is and that you would bring peace. Father, we ask that you'd help us to be able to help others. But in order to do that, in order to help someone with the speck in their eye, we have to take out the plank out of our own eye first so that we can see better. Help us to live these principles so that we can teach these principles. Help us to be an example of your principles so that it makes it so much easier to share these principles when we're living them, so we can have life to the full. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.